in. How many religions of the Protestant group do you think existed in this country when our founding fathers put together the Constitution? Over 1,500 different groups, all claiming they were right, teaching a different dogma, quoting scripture to justify what they said, and everybody else was going to hell. So don't give me this Christian nation bullshit, because that's what it is. This nation reflected Christian values because the people who made up the government in the early days were Christian, but none of them agreed with each other, and they still don't today.
Bill married, had children, and continued his life as a messenger by creating a large global civilian intelligence gathering organization called CAGI.
Now, CAGI stands for the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, and it was Bill's research gathering arm of his whole operation. His principal idea behind CAGI was to get a whole group of like-minded researchers and individuals, patriots in the U.S. and throughout the world, really. At one point, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence was the largest civilian intelligence gathering organization in the world. And the one thing about CAGI was that it wasn't a secretive society like the FBI or CIA would be. It was an intelligence gathering organization with the idea of putting this gathered intelligence out to the rest of the world.
During the late 90s, Bill's outspoken disposition would find him harassed by government agents who kept watch on him in Arizona and tried desperately to keep him quiet by accusing him of federal violations, including tax evasion and bank fraud, that to this day have yet to be validated.
Essentially, by June, July 98, I was moved here with Bill to conduct full-time research into the mystery schools and secret societies and the government protocols in general. I was in the next town over running some business errands and came back, and he came rushing out to meet me, and he said the federal marshals were just here. I said, what? He said, yeah, they came up and they said they were going to serve me with charges. Well, he countered him with the jurisdictional issue, which he is probably the expert on, or was the expert on, and is on the website. Because then they, as in federal government, started pulling goofy stuff. Agent Fillerup was an FBI agent out of Pine Top Lakeside. Agent Fillerup showed up one day, this is just a couple weeks after the federal marshal initial visit. We were out in the backyard barbecuing, which we often did. He got out of his Bronco and said, oh, I just want to talk, like old friends. And basically we told him we knew he was full of shit. And, well, let me just hand you this envelope. And he's waving it. Now, and we were still barbecuing away, and he was still out the side of his vehicle there. And he goes, well, I'm going to come on up. And Bill told him point blank, do not come up here. You're not welcome. I'm not talking to you. You go back and tell your bosses that there's not going to be another Waco or Ruby Ridge in this country. And this time, you guys, and this was his own words, you stepped on your dick. And he got back in and back down the hill. So he only had about a year, basically had a timeline to bring Bill in on these trumped up tax evasion charges and bank fraud. We did have a meeting with a congressman and his staff. He brought his entire staff up to one of our backyard little barbecue things, and we knew they were coming up, but we had to cook anyway. And they sat and talked to us for quite a while, but they weren't willing to help. And we were, like I say, always wanting a peaceful end to this and an answer to our jurisdictional questions. And to alleviate this problem, another thing we did was contacted any bank he'd ever dealt with. Car loans, banks, house loans, property loans, anything. Oh, no, you're a glowing customer, paid off early, never late. No fraud in existence. So essentially, when the year came up that Fillerup was quasi-given as a deadline and nothing had taken place, he was moved on, Agent Fillerup, to who knows where, maybe the real Siberia. And things seemed to calm down a little bit. and we were hoping that maybe it would just kind of go away.
Unfortunately, things did not calm down. After Agent Fillerup's departure, more agents were assigned to watch Cooper, and Bill was eventually placed in what was known in the 90s as Filegate, where President Clinton ordered unconstitutional investigations into a number of individuals that were deemed a threat. The heat escalated to the point where Bill felt it was necessary to protect his wife and children by placing them in hiding for their own safety. It was now Bill and Doyle fighting the federal government on what seemed to be phantom charges.
Towards maybe the last 8 months or so of his life, because of events happening around the world and then culminating in 9/11, as far as world type events, Bill really turned the heat up on the people that would see this country's demise on his broadcast and on his website. And at that point, a person could tell if they had watched the happenings and knew the facts, not just the crap that was put in a paper here and there about Bill or the situation here, and had done their research, that now it wasn't a matter of if but when for Bill's demise.
In August of 2001, a local doctor by the name of Scott Hamlin had reported to local Eager police that he had been harassed while parked on Bill's Hill by a man who followed him, pulled out a gun, and threatened him in front of his wife and kids. Even though it could not be proven that it was Bill, law enforcement now had a reason for serving a warrant for his arrest.
Dr. Hamlin had been going up and playing real petty little games at night in the, up right next to Bill's property. This particular night, he had his family up there, and they claimed they were just up there to watch the lightning storms. But the problem was, Dr. Hamlin would really egg people on. He's a real weasel. And Bill had enough of it and ordered him off the whole area. Just get out of here, I'm calling the cops. Now, if Bill wanted to do harm to him, he would not call the cops, obviously. Bill told me about this the next day, and that was pretty much all that was of it.
The first warrant was served on September 11th of 2001, but was postponed. It would not be until November of 2001 when the police would finally make an attempt to raid Cooper. Cooper's broadcasts at this time had already been looking into the federal government's compliance in the events of 9/11.
One of the things that makes everybody wonder why Bill's life was snuffed out in 2001 was because in June of that year, Osama bin Laden, who was a relative unknown at that time, Bill had been following the news and found a lot of curiosities and went on the air predicting that there would be a major attack in the United States and that it would be blamed on Osama bin Laden, but he was literally the scapegoat that was being used, not truly behind the attacks. So that, I mean, just a few months before the events of September 11th, and then of course Bill's life cut short shortly thereafter.
Supposedly, a CNN reporter found Osama bin Laden, took a television camera crew with him, went into Osama bin Laden's hideout, interviewed him and his top leadership, and he came out and told everybody, within 3 weeks, Osama bin Laden is going to attack the United States and Israel. Now, don't you think that's kind of strange, folks? You see, because the largest intelligence apparatus in the world, with the biggest budget in the history of the world, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years, and can't find him. Some doofus jerk-off reporter with a camera crew waltzes right into his hideout and interviews him. And I'm telling you, be prepared for a major attack. But it won't be Osama bin Laden. It will be those behind the New World Order. I wonder what Osama bin Laden's targets are supposed to be. And if they don't, you know, if this doesn't materialize in the next 2 or 3 weeks, it will eventually materialize because